Now, if you would go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. So this verse here talks about not being buried as a dishonor. And he says, you know, if this guy doesn't see any good and he also has no burial. At the end of verse 3, it says, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. Better than the guy who begat 100 children. You say, how can somebody beget 100 children? Well, first of all, there's this thing called polygamy that Solomon knew a little something about. But not only that, okay, this could probably also just be referring to children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You know, God willing, I hope to live to be a very old man and someday have 100 descendants myself. I'm doing my part. You know, we'll see if my kids do their part and my grandkids and so forth. But I want to have the 100 children and the burial. I'm going to do the best of both worlds. But it says, an untimely birth is better than he. Look at verse number 4. It says, for he cometh in with vanity, the untimely birth, that is, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Now, what is an untimely birth? Well, we would think of this as a miscarriage. That's probably the word that we would use. A child who dies in his mother's womb is a miscarriage. Now, the reason that this would be called an untimely birth is because of the fact that when a woman is pregnant and her child dies, a lot of times that will trigger her to go into labor immediately. So even if she's not full term, she's not to 9 months, this process is triggered. And so the untimely birth is referring to a miscarriage. But not only that, you know, if you think about it, we have today extremely premature babies that can survive, but part of that is due to modern technology. You know, I remember many years ago reading a news story about a record being set. I think it was like the University of Chicago Medical Center. And how young, what was the age? It was like 23 weeks gestation or something. What was it? 21 or so. It was some incredibly premature child. You know, using a lot of technology and everything. And look, obviously, back in the ancient world in Bible times, you know, you're not going to be able to have very premature babies. Obviously, you'd have some that are a bit premature that could survive. But pretty much, if they're very premature in those days, they're just going to die anyway. And so it's an untimely birth that's associated with death. And so he's saying, man, you'd rather be the untimely birth. You know, what's the point of even living if you end your life as someone who nobody cares about, is what he's saying. You know, you might as well have just been a miscarriage. And then he basically just says, you know, they haven't seen the sun or known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Now, we strongly believe from the Word of God that all babies go to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. So the untimely birth goes straight to heaven. It's not just a lump of cells and you know what's funny about that is that I'm a lump of cells too. What does that even mean? Oh, it's just a lump of cells. Well, so are you, buddy. You big, ugly lump of cells, you. Who do you think you are? You know, you want to murder this little tiny lump of cells. You're a big, fat lump of cells. But guess what? We're alive. We're human. We're God's creation. We're the children of God. We're not just a lump of cell, lump of tissue or whatever. And so the baby in its mother's womb is alive. There's plenty of scripture to prove that. You know, you have incidents like John the Baptist leaping in his mother's womb when he's in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we have, of course, God knowing us and forming and fashioning us in our mother's womb. And we have John the Baptist being filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Was this like the Holy Ghost in that lump of cells? No, it's a person. Also, we have the Old Testament law, which states that if a woman is pregnant and someone injures her maliciously and causes the baby to die, that it's life for life. It's basically the death penalty for murdering a child in its mother's womb. It's a death penalty. So that's a lie. And even today, in our modern jurisprudence, guess what? If you murder a pregnant woman, that's a double homicide. But, oh, it's not alive. It's not a person. It's garbage. And you know what? Any kind of a science definition of life would say that that baby is alive. I mean, if they found it on Mars, they'd have a field day with that, right? I mean, if they found, you know, forget a lump of cells, they would love to just find one cell on Mars and get all excited and pop the cork on the champagne and say, yes, we proved that life can originate by itself without God. So amazing. Isn't that what they would do? They'd get all excited and blaspheme and curse the name of God because they found some single cell on Mars. Well, guess what? Science is real, libtard. And you know what? Abortion's murder. It's so funny how the liberals love to say, so we believe in science. Science is real. No, you don't believe in science, because if you believe in science, you wouldn't be murdering babies. You'd say they're alive. And you'd also believe in two genders, male and female, if you actually believe in science. But there's a lot of scripture on this. Like, for example, in Job, if you would flip back to Job, you can keep a finger there in Ecclesiastes, we'll be back. But there's a very similar passage in Job chapter 3 to what we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. You know, speaking of depressing chapters in the Bible, right? Let's go back to Job chapter 3, where Job is cursing the day wherein he was born. And every time I read this verse, I think about the fact that you know how we have the bulletins on Sunday and they have like a picture and they have a Bible verse on the front? Well, we don't pick those pictures and verses, although we do veto some of them. But we get those from a company that sends us those. You know, we make the rest of the bulletin, but it's like a ready-made picture with a Bible verse. And I remember one time we're making the bulletin and we look at the front of the bulletin and the verse that's on the front of the bulletin said, "Why died I not from the womb?" And I was just thinking, like, that's an odd choice, you know, for a Sunday morning bulletin. But that's what I always think of when I read this verse. Job, you know, you start running out of verses down at the bulletin company, and, you know, you start putting a verse about Judas hanging himself or something, you know. What's it going to say next week, you know, Adam, Seth, Enos or something? All right, Job 3:11, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept, then had I been at rest." And that's the exact word that was used in Ecclesiastes, rest. But let's keep going. "With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light." Again, the same wording as in Ecclesiastes about not seeing the sun. "There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor." Does this sound like the baby is just ceasing to exist? No, it's going to this place where the small and great are there. Verse 19, "And the servant is free from his master." He says, "Wherefore is light given unto him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in?" So there's the same type of idea here in Job that's saying that, you know, you're better off that to just die before you're even born, like dying in the womb, or dying as an infant, than to live a horrible life, which makes sense. You know, it reminds me of what Jesus said about Judas Iscariot. It'd be better for him if he'd never been born. And that's true, because if he'd never been born, where would he be right now? He'd be in heaven. Right now, he's burning in hell. But if he'd never been born, he'd be in heaven right now. Now, you say, well, Pastor Anderson, you know, why are you upset about abortion then if all these babies are going to heaven? Here's the thing about that. First of all, there are people out there who have this really weird, sick doctrine that teaches that God just damns babies to hell, that he just like sends unborn babies and newborn babies to hell. And a lot of, I'm not saying that all Calvinists believe that, but there are a lot of Calvinists who believe that. And then you'll see certain Calvinists really excited about, you know, protesting abortion clinics all the time. You know, and part of the reason why, I mean, you know, I'm glad that they're fighting abortion, but I wish it weren't because they have this sick doctrine, this bizarre doctrine, because it's like they don't understand the Bible, or they don't understand the nature of God. They don't understand the nature of salvation, that God is just damning people. I had a Calvinist one time tell me, and again, I'm not saying that all Calvinists believe this, but there are a lot of Calvinists that will come right out and say that they believe this. But I had one Calvinist say, well, if they're the children of Christians, they go to heaven. If they're the children of the unsaved, they go to hell. What in the world? But a lot, I've heard some of them just say they all go to hell. Well, that's nonsense. Okay, the Bible clearly, there's a lot of evidence. You know, and you think about the case with King David, where King David's baby died, and that baby was a product of an adulterous union. And yet he said that he can't bring it back, but he said, the child cannot come back to me, but I will go to the child. And he rejoiced and was at peace about it once the child passed away, because he knew that the child was in heaven. So there's a lot of biblical evidence. I think one of the strongest pieces of evidence, another verse that unfortunately people don't really think about, Romans chapter 7, verse 9 says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And so, you know, a baby is an innocence, just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They didn't know that they were naked. Little toddlers run around naked and don't even give it a second thought because they're innocent. And because they're innocent, they go to heaven. Just like Adam and Eve before they sinned, children are innocent. They go straight to heaven. So you say, well, then why are you so mad about abortion? First of all, number one, you don't see me spending my life fighting abortion. I don't spend my life just on a crusade to fight abortion, because I'd rather get people out of hell. That's what my life is mainly geared toward. And what does the New Testament tell us to gear our lives toward? You know, preventing abortion. And I'm totally against abortion, and I'll fight abortion and stand up to abortion, but that's not the main focus. The main focus is getting people saved, preaching the gospel to every creature, number one. Okay, but number two, just because the babies that are aborted go straight to heaven, that doesn't change the wickedness of the person who's committing that murder. I mean, how could you sit there and say, oh, well, you know, it's okay that you murdered a baby because it went to heaven. That's, you know what, if somebody murdered me, I'm going to go to heaven too. Does that mean it's okay to murder me? You know, you could murder millions of people in this world that are Christians, and you'd just be sending people to heaven, just send them all to heaven. That's stupid. It doesn't make it any less wicked to commit murder where the soul's destination is. So that doesn't make any sense. That argument makes no sense, right? Just because they go to heaven, it doesn't mean that we think it's okay. It still incurs the wrath of God. If you went and killed a bunch of Christians, they'd all go to heaven and God would be angry at you. And when America murders a bunch of babies, God's angry. Whether they go to heaven or not, which we know for sure they go to heaven, there's zero doubt that they go to heaven, but it still angers God. In fact, they're constantly showing up in heaven, and God's constantly reminded of the garbage that's going on in our country. So the reason that I would fight against abortion, although I'm not going to dedicate my whole life to that, and I don't want to get unequally yoked with a bunch of unbelievers to do that, but I would fight abortion because of the fact that it brings down the wrath of God on America.